My subject tonight is God's love. After I looked over the list of all of the subjects that was being taught during this winter Bible study, and I became aware of how inextricably connected my subject is to almost all of the other subjects that are being taught, and in view of that, I'll try to confine my remarks as closely as I can to our subject tonight, God's love. We see that the world has much to say about love. The libraries and bookstores are filled with books about love. Much of that is, I believe, not really love. Much of it is a perversion of love or something else. But the only reference book that I have used is God's Holy Word. And I believe that we find sufficient information contained within the pages of God's Word that will help us to understand a little bit better about God's love. The scriptures in the book of 1 John, chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." Love is of God. And that means the origin of love. God is the origin of all love. In the next verse of that same chapter, the scripture says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." God is love. I've heard many people many times ask the question. In fact, I have questioned that myself, and we sometimes wonder why that God has loved us, or why does God love? But that verse of scripture, I believe, communicates to us that it is the nature of God to love. God is love. It's His nature to love. It seems to me that when we are talking about God's love, that there's just not words that's adequate for us to define or to describe God's love. But I believe that we can more clearly understand what God's love is when that we look at God's actions toward man. And we can see what God has done in regards to man. Now, you're all familiar with the passage of Scripture that we find in Genesis chapter 3 concerning when that Adam and Eve had, in disobedience to God, had transgressed God's law, and they found themselves separated from fellowship with God, naked and ashamed. And you know the account of how that they tried to make a covering for their nakedness and their shame by sewing fig leaves together, and that proved to be insufficient. Then the scripture says that God made them a coat of skins, a covering for their sin that was sufficient, a covering that was big enough and durable enough to cover their nakedness. And I believe that this was an act of God's love. I believe He did that because He loved them. He provided a covering for them. We know that all of the efforts that man has ever made, from Adam to this present day, all the efforts that man's ever made trying to provide himself a covering for sin has always been insufficient. Amen. inadequate in every way. But God, not only did he make a covering for them, but we understand that to be a type of what God would then do to provide a covering for the sin of the whole world. In the book of Ezekiel, there's a passage of scripture that really moves me every time I read it. It is a passage of scripture that is speaking about God's love toward Israel. When that they were in the bondage of Egypt, seemingly forgotten and cast off. And that passage of scripture in Ezekiel 16 and 8, God says, "When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love." He said, "When I passed by you and I looked upon you, thy time was the time of love. I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness, yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." Those verses of what God did for Israel. He passed by and he looked upon them and he put his skirt over them. Those are the words of Ruth that she said when she lay at the feet of Boaz. She asked him to cover her with his skirt. Those are words of marriage, relationship. That's what God said that he did for Israel. And he said that he entered into a covenant with them and you became mine. I can't remember when he passed by me. I can't remember the night that he passed by me and he looked upon me and he saw that I needed a covering and he entered into a covenant with me and made me his. He said that time was thy time of love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." That little word "so" is very important in that passage of Scripture. He said God so loved the world. He loved the world in this way. He loved the world like this, or so much, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the whole human family. And that is why that he gave his only begotten Son as the Lamb of God, as the acceptable sacrifice for sin. But the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians in chapter 2 and 20, he spoke about God's love on an individual basis. He said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I'm thankful tonight that he's loved you. Every one of you, I'm glad he's loved you. But I'm more glad that he loved me. That might sound selfish. You say, "Well, preacher, how can you say that?" Because I'm human. I'm glad that he loved me. Paul said he loved me. And he did. He loved every one of us. In the book of 1 John, chapter 4 and verse 9, the scripture says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." That's how God manifested his love toward us. Amen. While we were in our sins, you see, God loved us. In Romans 5, 6, and 8, The scripture says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth his love. He exhibited his love, demonstrated his love in what he did. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7, the scripture says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Now that word, little word for, it means because. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us. Now I said I would confine my remarks to my subject, the love of God, and I'll try to do that, but I must say this. I believe that the attributes of God, many other attributes of God, the attributes of grace, mercy, long-suffering, that they arise out of the love of God. Amen. So God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Because of his love, he hath quickened us together with Christ. Because of his love, he has raised us up together and has made us sit together in heavenly places because of his love. And in the ages to come, he will show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, is the focus of God's love. I know that's a disappointment to some, that sometimes we think that we're the focus of things, but Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the focus of God's love. We are recipients of God's love only through knowing and experiencing the wonderful love of God through Jesus Christ. In the 17th chapter of John, which is, I believe, a prayer of Jesus, and in the third verse of that 17th chapter, Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That is life eternal. When you know God, and his Son, Jesus Christ, that is life eternal. And then down in the 24th verse of that same chapter, which was included in this same prayer of Jesus, Jesus said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. God loved the Son before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ is the focus of God's love. It comes to us through him. And when we have come to know God and his Son through repentance and faith and having received the forgiveness of our sins, when we have fully believed upon Jesus, repenting of our sins, whom God sent in his love to be a propitiation for our sins, and then we are forgiven and justified before God, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe as evidence of this newfound relationship that we now have with God, that His love is then poured out upon us. Romans 5:5, the scripture says, and hope. It's talking about that assured hope that we have being saved. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And those words shed abroad literally mean poured out. God doesn't pour out His love upon us out of a thimble. When God pours His love out upon us, it is without measure. And I'm thankful that He pours out His love upon us. I believe that it was the love of God that drew the plan of redemption and provided a Savior, Jesus, God's only begotten Son. I believe that plan of salvation was drawn by the love of God. The Apostle John, I read about the Apostle John. He is, called the Apostle that Jesus loved. I don't think he loved him any more than he did the rest of them, but he probably had a different personality or. But the Apostle John wrote these words in 1 John 3:1. And he said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Have you ever thought about that? Behold, what manner of love, what kind of love, what sort of a love is this that we should be called the sons of God? Having been purchased by the blood of Christ and made a child of God by adoption, and we are assured through the Word of God that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Amen. Romans 8:35, the Apostle Paul, I believe, was the writer. And he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But he said, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I told you before, Jesus Christ is the focus of God's love. God's love is in Jesus Christ, and if we ever receive it, it will be through Him, through faith in Him. That love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts. Let me say that even though there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, but because that we are sons and not bastards, we'll not be spared the correction rod of God when we err. Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. I used to not understand when my parents would get ready to administer a rod of correction to me or my brothers, and I've heard them say, and many of you have heard the same thing, and they'd say, well, you know, this hurts me worse than it does you. I didn't much believe that then. But a few years later, when my daughter came along and I was in that role now of having to administer the rod of correction, I found out how true that was. So we can be assured, we can be absolutely sure that when God administers the rod of correction to us, it is administered in love, that it might be a benefit. In 1 John 4, verses 10 through 12, the scripture says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God." That's no great thing that we love God. It's no great thing, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Now, Jesus had previously taught basically this very same thing to John and all of the other apostles. He taught them almost the very same thing. Because we find in John chapter 13, verses 34, 35, this was the teaching of Jesus to His apostles. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Jesus said that this is the mark, this is the identification of how that the world will know that you are my disciples if you love each other with the same love that I have loved you with. We don't have that kind of love. It's not human. It's God's love. It's God's love. I'm so thankful for God's love. I'm thankful that a long time ago, a July night of 1958, that He passed by where I was and He looked down on me and He saw me. And He spread His skirt out over me and covered me and entered into a covenant with me and made me His. That's what He did. He did that for every one of us that have been saved by the grace of God. The love of God must be experienced. There's not enough words to ever describe the love of God. Man just can't put words together to ever adequately describe the Word of God. You can't tell somebody about it that if they don't have some personal knowledge of it, they'll just look at you like a deer in the headlights because they just don't know. It's the most wonderful thing in the world that I've ever experienced is the love of God. A mother of mine brought me home, held me in her arms, and she loved me. She nourished me and she raised me. But as I look back upon all of that in my life, I know now that that wasn't just her love that she was loving me with. That was God's love that had been instilled in her heart as a young girl up in Simpson County, Kentucky, where that the Lord saved her soul and poured out His love upon her. And that was the love that she loved me with. I'm convinced that that's the first taste of God's love that I ever had, but that was nothing like it was when I repented of my sins and put my faith in Jesus Christ, the salvation of my soul, and His love was poured out upon me. Overwhelming. overwhelming. You know, I suppose more songs have been written concerning God's love than any other subject. I don't have any way to prove that. That's just my own personal belief. And I've thought about many of those songs that are written about the love of God. There's an old song that was sung when I was on the altar seeking God. I remember them singing it. The chorus of that song has a very simple words, and it says, "Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me." And if you're ever lifted, it'll be love that'll do it. It'll be love. There's another song that's a favorite of mine. And I know that you folks sang that song, and it's called "The Love of God." It says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell." The last verse of that song says, "Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." But there's another song that Rusty Goodman wrote about the love of God. And we're going to sing that song. Brother Strode's going to lead it for us. He may have to sing a solo. Some of you, I believe, knows this song. You listen to these words.
If you could own all the world and its money, build castles tall enough to reach the sky above. If you could know everything there was to know about life's game, yet you know nothing until you know God and His love. Until you know the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lift him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you know just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. If in your lifetime you could meet everybody and you could call every name from here to yon, but if you've not come face to face with Jesus and His saving grace, then you've known no one until you've known God and His love. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has tried. know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God.